All right, Jabal said, let's begin. So first of all, our shir today is dedicated in memory of Rabbi Price, Zichrona Livracha, whose yard site is being observed today, Rav Shlomo Aryeh ben Ramosha, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah.
Amen.
All right, so today's daf is Mem Aleph. Today's daf is Mem Aleph. We are going to begin Emir Hashem on Daf Mem Amud Beis. On the top of Mem Aleph, So says the Gemara, Stam Sifra Money, Rabbi Yehuda. Suppose I remember, the Gemara quoted a Braisa yesterday, at the end of yesterday's Daf. So now the Gemara says, actually towards the middle of yesterday's Daf, we're talking about the whole issue with Hagrala, the whole issue ultimately with drawing lots. So the Gemara says over here, the Gemara says, Stam Sifra money, whose opinion does the Stam Sifra, does Rukit Rashi, Toras Kohanim, Rabbi Hudi, he hachi karan b'sanhedrin, v'huba Toras Kohanim, dihi kara b'sif, the hakra b'sefer v'yikra k'siv. So who does a braisa in the Sifra, whose opinion is that reflective of? Rabbi Huda, v'katoni hagoral osechatos, v'ein Hashem osechatos. And yet what did the braisa say? The braisa said that it is the goral that establishes the identity of the animal as a chatos, and yet the shame, simple verbal designation, does not establish the animal as a chatos. Alma hagrala me'akva. Therefore, what do you see from here? That hagrala, the drawing of the lots, is actually ma'akev. So the Gemara says, you're right. Tiyufta demand da'amar hagrala lo me'akva. Tiyufta. This effectively, I should have actually read these last four lines in yesterday because they're just a continuation of yesterday's discussion. But the Gemara says, you see from the braisa that we quoted on the previous daf that hagrala is ma'akev. So also again, remember, we already saw the Rambam yesterday, who explained that in fact that's how we paskin, that the hagrala, the drawing of the lots for the two se'irim, is an indispensable part of the day's avodah. The hanocha, the placement of the lots, is a mitzvah, but it's not an indispensable piece. So if you were to not go ahead and do the hagrala, you would invalidate the service. But if you were to omit the hanocha, the service would still be perfectly fine. Says Rav Chista, Amar Rav Chista, Ein hakinin misparshos ela obelikichas bailim o basias koin. Rabosa comes along Rav Chista. And Rav Chista says, Kinin, Rabbi Osei, remember, refers to the bird pairs. So you have different cases of where you have bird pairs. There are situations of by a Yoledes, a woman who gives birth. There are situations by a Zav or by a Zava. These are all circumstances where a person is bringing two birds. Usually one is for a Chatos and one is for an Ola. So Rav Chista says that the designation of the birds for their respective purposes could only be done in one of two times, either when you purchase the birds or when the kohen is actually performing the avodah. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ein akinin misparshos, ezali ola ve'ezali chatos." Again, Rabbi said, just a simple case, a woman gave birth, she's going to have to go ahead and bring two birds as part of her karbanos. One is going to go ahead and be a chatos, one is going to be an ola. So when do you designate each bird for a specific purpose? So look at Rashi. He says, "Ela o belikichas bailim." Either when the owners purchase, im kishekna'an, omer ze ani lokeach liola, ve'ezze lechatos, shuv en akon yachol lishanosan ba'asiyasan. So we'll say again, if when the woman purchased the birds, she said, this bird over here is for a chatos, this bird over here is for an ola. The kohen, when he does the avoda, does not have the ability to change those designations. And furthermore, ve'im shina, if the kohen did change the designation, puzzle, he invalidates the offering. But if when she bought the birds, she did not identify which bird was going to be used for what, even if she designated them afterwards, ain shame chal aleihem. So the designation that she made does not devolve upon them. And the kohen could go ahead and change the designations. Okay, so we'll say we're going to be spending a lot of time in this position on Rechista. Rechista says again, when it comes to the bird pairs, you have two opportunities to designate their identities. Either again at the time of purchase or at the time ultimately of the actual offering. Those are the two times, which means if at any point in between those two points you were to go ahead and say this bird is a chatas, this bird is an ola, such a designation would effectively be meaningless. So the Gemara says, Amar of Simi Bar Ashi, My time with Rav Chisda, bless you. What's Rav Chisda's logic? Where does he get this from? Dechsev, because the pasuk says v'lakcha v'asa. Because we all say, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says again. These are two. The first pasuk is v'im lo simsa yada desa v'lakcha shtei torim. So talking about v'lakcha. So you have the lashon of lekicha over here by the bird offering. And you also have lashon over here. It's va'asa hakoin esa echad chatos ve'esa echad ola. So when it comes to when it comes to this particular service, you have two verbs that are used: the lakha, she will take, and va'asa, he will do. So Rav Chisda understands from there: o bilikicha, o ba'asiya. You could designate the identities of the animal either at the time when you purchase it, the lakha, or at the time when the coin actually does the avoda. Look at Rashi. V'lakcha v'asa b'yoledes k'siv. This is written by a yoledes, a woman who gave birth. V'lakcha shtei torim o shnei b'nei yona. Echa li'ola ve'echa l'chatas. V'chein b'mitzora v'gabei zav. V'asa kohen echad chatas ve'echad ola. As Rabbi said, what's interesting over here is, remember, there are multiple cases where you're bringing the bird offering, right? You could be doing in the case of Yoledes, someone who gave birth. You could be doing it by a Mitzora. You could be doing it by a Zav, a Zava. These are all cases where there are two birds. So the Gemara just discusses the idea that there are two verbs that show up in these different contexts. Again, v'lakcha v'asa. And therefore, Rav Chisda understands that designation of the identity of the birds. Remember, one is going to be a chatos, one is going to be an ola, can be established at one of two intervals. Either shas lekicha, when you purchase it, or zman asiyah, when the coin actually does the avoda. But at any other time in the process, a designation would essentially be insignificant. So Gemara raise a kasha. Mesve, raise a kasha. V'aso chatos. Rabbi said, going back to our seir la'azazel. So the Torah says again, by the two seirim, v'aso chatos, you will make it into an offering. So the Gemara Darshan's Hagoral Osechatos, Ve'in Hashem Osechatos. It is only the Goral, it is only the drawing of the lots that establishes the identity of the animal as a chatos, but simple verbal designation does not establish the animal as a chatos. So the Gemara says, V'halo dinhu, but I could have made a kavachomer. Uma b'makom shelo kidesh Hagoral kidesh Hashem. Now I will say, listen to this. This is just repeating the Gemara actually from yesterday. Now, in a situation where a goral doesn't work, but yet verbal designation does work. So we'll say, what's a case of where a lottery does not determine the identity of the animal, but yet, again, verbal designation does? Where does that happen? Bird. That's in every other case. It's not just birds. It's pretty much, remember, the only time we draw lots to establish identity is the Se'irim of Yom Kippur. Every other case, a carbon is designated by a verbal designation. So if in every other case where you don't have a goral, verbal designation works, makum shekidesh hagoral eino din shekadesh Hashem, then all the more so in a situation where you do have a goral, where you do have a lottery, still verbal designation should certainly work. The meaning of both sides, the assumption the Gemara is making over here is that lemaisa, the goral should just be viewed as another way of designating the animal, but it should not in any way detract from the normal primary way of designating the animal. So if under normal circumstances where you don't have a goral, verbal designation does work, then all the more so what? In a situation where you do have a goral, then verbal designation should certainly work. Talmud Lomar, therefore the pasuk says, v'aso chatos. Therefore the pasuk says, no, this will make it a chatos. What is the this? Hagoral osechatos, ve'in Hashem osechatos. Oh, what do we learn from here? That it's only the lottery that makes the animal into a chatos. Verbal designation does not. Now, the Gemara asks, but one second. So now what you're telling me is, the Gemara is that even by the Seir, even by the goats of Yom Kippur, verbal designation would work. Now we're also assuming that, remember, we're saying the same way that lottery would work, verbal designation would work. Now, we're also assuming that means that the verbal designation could have been done at the same time that the lottery is being done. Now, so the Gemara asks, but one second. Now, the havamina of your question is that verbal designation should work, and what? And that verbal designation should work at the same time that the lottery should work. The lottery itself is not done either at the time of the purchase of the animal or at the time of the actual avoda. This contradicts Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda just said before what Rabbi said, that the only time that you could designate an animal, a particular identity to an animal is when? Is either at the time of purchase or at the time of the actual avoda. But now, the havamin of the Gemara is that verbal designation should work by the Seirim, and it should work in the same way that the Goral does. The Goral doesn't take place at the time of purchase or at the time, ultimately, of Avoda. And so to the Havamina is that the naming or the verbal designation would also apply not necessarily at a time of Likicha or Nasiya. That contradicts Rav Chista. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. So if you take Amar Rava says, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means to say. Ma b'makom shelo kidesh hagoral, afilu b'shas l'kicha v'afilu b'shas asiya, kidesh Hashem. I will say, if it comes, now, so Rabbi says, this is what the Gemara, this is the Havamina of the Gemara. When it comes, ma b'makom shelo kidesh hagoral, if when you have a situation where the goral is not in effect, v'afilu b'shas l'kicha v'afilu b'shas asiya, meaning, I will say, under normal circumstances, Rabbi says, a goral cannot effectively create an identity for an animal. And that's true even if you do the goral at the time of the purchase of the animal or at the time of the actual sacrificial service. Yet, in those cases where a goral would not work, kidesh Hashem b'shas l'kicho b'shas asiya. Yet what? In those cases where a goral wouldn't work, yet verbal designation would work if done at shas asiya or shas l'kicho, or shas l'kicho, shas asiya. Makom shekidesh hagoral shelo b'shas l'kicha b'shelo b'shas asiya. So therefore, in a case of where you have a goral and the goral is able to go ahead and designate the identity of the animal, and amazingly enough, it doesn't have to be done at the time of the purchase or at the time of the actual sacrificial service. Eino din sheyekadesh Hashem b'shas l'kicha b'shas asiya. So most of the way Rav is understanding it over here is the kavachomer is like this: if under normal circumstances, all you could goral does not work, even if done at the shas lekicha, the time of the purchase of the animal, or at the time of the sacrificial service. But yet, in those cases, shame verbal designation does work. All the more so in a case where goral does work, even when at a time of when it's not lekicha and it's not asiya. Certainly, then verbal designation should at least work when b'shas lekicha and b'shas asiya. Talmud Lomar v'yaso chatos. Therefore, the pasuk says, "No, it is you will make it into a chatos." What does that mean? Hagoral osechatos ve'in Hashem osechatos. Therefore, the Gemara understands that no, the pasuk tells me it is the goral that makes it a chatos. V'yaso chatos. The goral makes it into a chatos. The lottery makes it into a chatos, and the shame, the verbal designation, does not. Says the Gemara. Tashma, mitame mikdash anir. Well, this is an interesting case. Look at Rashi. Literally, metame mikdash means someone who defiles the mikdash. Now, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Metame mikdash, hanichnas lemikdash tame. Somebody walks into the base of mikdash and they are tame. So, also that's obviously we're talking about somebody who did this accidentally. So, this is a violation. A person has to bring a carbon. Now, it's interesting over here is v'hu b'carbon ole v'yored ashirus v'dalos v'dalei dalos hamura etzal shvuas pitui ushvuas kol ushvuas kol ola. So listen to this case. A person becomes tamei, and let's keep it simple. A person enters into the Beis HaMikdash not realizing that they are in a state of tumah. So there's a carbon for this. There's a sin offering a person has to bring, but it's what's called the carbon ola v'yored. A carbon ola v'yored literally is a carbon whose value depends on how much money you have. If a person is rich, they bring one type of carbon. If a person is poor, they bring another type of carbon. If a person is mamish impoverished, they bring a third type of carbon. So the Gemara says there was something very interesting. What happens if you have a person, metami mikdash, a person walked into the Beis HaMikdash when they were tamei, and what happens? Ani. And a person, metami mikdash ani, the person who came in was poor. Vehifrish ma'os lekino. So we'll say, if you are poor, the offering that you have to bring is a pair of birds. That's a poor man's offering. You bring a pair of birds. So let's say, again, Reuven is poor. He enters into the Beis HaMikdash when he's tamei. He separates out his bird pair to bring. And what happens? Mazel tov. He won the Mega Millions, right? V'heshir. Now he's rich. So what happens? V'achar kach. And after he becomes rich, now we'll say, if you look at Rashi, so Rashi says, V'heshir. Now, we'll say, obviously, in addition to his newfound wealth, the interesting kasha is what? Is that now a rich man brings a different type of carbon. So now again, so what happened? V'achar kach, Omer, Eilu lechatoso, V'eilu le'olaso. And what happens? And afterwards, look at Rashi for just a moment. Chole kamos. So now what happens? I have my money that I originally set aside for my bird pair. And then afterwards, I go ahead and I divide the money. Rashi says, chole kamos, upiresh, va'amr elo lechatoso, ve'elo le'aloso. I say, remember, again, the two birds that are brought, one is a chatas, one is an ola. And what happens? Afagav she'in karban ani achshav alav chova, ela karban ashir, ve'ein b'karban ashir ola, ela chatas behima, kisheba lebezdin, yomu lebezdin, karban ashir. So let's listen to this. So now what happens? So again, follow this progression. Ruvain goes into Beis HaMikdash Tameh. He's an ani. He's going to go ahead and he's going to bring a bird pair. So what does he do? He separates $50 for his bird pair. Then what happens? He becomes rich. After he becomes rich, what does he do? He doesn't change his car. Now remember, an usher, a richer person, will not bring a bird pair. He'll bring one animal offering for a carbon chatos. He'll just bring a chatos offering, an animal offering. So what happens? But he doesn't change his carbon. Instead, what he does is he takes the $50 and he says 25 is for the ola bird, 25 is for the chatos bird. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Mosif umevi chovaso midme chatoso, ve'in mosif umevi chovaso midme oloso. So what does he do? He adds on to the money of the chatos money. And so we'll say again, so he takes his $25 that was set aside for chatos, and he adds on to that to be able to bring an animal chatos, but he does not add on to the ola money. Okay, look at Rashi. Mosif he takes the money that he set aside for the bird chatos, he adds onto it, and now he uses that for his animal chatos. Look at next Rashi, but he does not add on to the Ola fund. Why not? So but what can't he do? He can't take the money that was designated for an ola and now switch that money to purchase a chatos. Why not? Because apparently once money has been designated for ola purposes, you cannot go ahead and change that money to chatos. So I will say again, one more time. So now he separated the money at first, but did not designate the money. Then he becomes rich. Now that he becomes rich, he's not bringing a bird pair. He has an obligation to go ahead and bring an actual animal chatos. Then after that, he doesn't realize that he has to, what does he do? He splits the pot, the $50, 25 for a bird ola, 25 for a bird chatos. The Gemara says, what do we tell him to do? Now remember, as an usher, he has to bring an animal chatos. So take the 25 that you set aside for the bird chatos, add on to that, and bring an animal chatos. But you can't ascend, we'll see what he has to do with the $25 for the ola, but you can't add the $25 for the ola into your chatos pot. Why? Because once you had money designated for an ola, that money cannot be switched to money for a chatos. So the Gemara says, but one second. Well, says Ongam etrav chista. V'ha hacha delav shas lekicha v'lav shas asiyahi. But you should be able to change designations. Why? Because Rav Chista said, Rabosai, when are designations established? Right? And one of two times. Either at the time of purchase, or at the time of what? Or at the time of the actual avoda. This is neither. If this is neither, then again, any designations, the truth is, should not stick, should not hold. And therefore, what should he really be able to do?
Change it.
He should be able to therefore take the additional $25 that's now set aside for the ola, and he should be able to what? Put that in the chatos fund. Look at Rashi. V'ha ha'cha, de'la'achar she'efrish and perish, ve'ein zu lo l'kicha, ve'lo asiya. So this is not the time of l'kicha, not time of asiya. So again, he should be able to change whatever he wants. To which the Gemara says, v'katani de'kava. And yet we see what? And yet we see that clearly, just the act of separating out the money, separating the funds into a chatos pile and an ola pile is enough to establish their identity. And to a certain degree, like an irrevocable identity. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, v'tizbra, the Rav Sheshes, but one second. Let's ask another question. V'ha'amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Raboshia, mitame mikdash asher. We'll say this is now the reverse case. Let's say the person who entered into the Beis HaMikdash was rich. He was entering into the Beis HaMikdash tame. He was rich. And what happened? Vehevi karban ani. And now what happens? Instead of bringing a rich man's offering, he brings a poor man's offering. Lo yatsa. He's not yotze. So the Gemara says, one second. Vehevan de lo yatsa hechi kava. The Rabbah says, now what's interesting about this is the following. Now the Gemara understands over here. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Vitizbara. Rashi says, "Hach mitaretz dehi va'amar Abelazar v'chivan dein karban ani ra'oi lo afilu b'di'eved hechi kava le shem ola alayu me sheh ashir hare eno mechayif ola." And Rabbi says, we will see later on, Lemaisa, if the rich man comes on the Beis HaMikdash Tamei and goes ahead and what? And designates money for a carbon ani, that is not effective because he can't pay. He's not yotze with that. I will say, the Gemara understands over here that he cannot go ahead and then use those monies to go ahead and purchase a chatos animal. So the Gemara says, why not? If again, Lemaisa, what we're saying is true, if he's not yotze with this carbon, then what? Then there was never a real kavios identity. There was never a real establishing of identity. If there was never a real establishing of identity, then what? Then the money should be able to be used for whatever you want. So we'll say, all the Gemara is saying over here is, it's compounding the kasha. Rather, what do you have to say? Shekvar amar me aniyaso. Rather, you have to say that he made this designation while he was still poor. Now, what does it mean? I'll say, look at Rashi. Elamai istachalameimar, al karchach mi boy le shibusha ulameimar, dahai va acharkach diktani shibushu, elahachi mi boy le misne. Va'amar, I'll say, pick up from this point over here. Va'amar, elu lechatos ve elu laola, va acharkach heeshir. Slimar says, you have to go ahead and rewrite the case. What's the case over here? The case over here is where, you see, Rabbi said, the way we originally read it was, he came into the Mikdash when he was an Ani. He was tummy, he was an Ani. He went ahead and then he became an Ashir. And then afterwards, he designated this bird for a Chatas, this bird for an Ola. The Gemara says, no, you have to retool, you have to rework the case. What's the case? The case is where, while he was still poor, that's when he designated the money. Right? He said, this is for a Chatas, this is for an Ola. The Achar Kach He'ashir. And then only afterwards did he become rich. At the time that he established these the different identities of these monies, this was an appropriate carbon for him. So we'll say yes. So now go back to the Gemara for just a moment. The Gemara says, so I will say again, what you'll have to understand over here is the following. The same way that we have to go ahead and rework this case. These cases only work if the person, going back to the Ani case, the only Havamina is that it works at a time when he actually designated the money while he was still poor. If he didn't designate the monies until he already became rich, so then obviously that those designations are meaningless. Why? Because Lamais, again, you have an obligation to bring an animal chatas. It's meaningless. No different than the Ashir who brought the carbon ani. So rather, you have to go ahead and understand that case as where he's made his designations while he was still poor. So too, the Gemara says, the way you'll have to understand these braisos, this braisa, according to Rav Chista, is that when is he making this designation? At the Shas HaFrasha, at the time literally when he's actively separating out the animals. And therefore, again, the Braisa does not go ahead and contradict Rav Chista's point. Ul Rav Chaga, Amar Rav Yoshia, Da Amar Yotza, Mai, Is Ika LeMeimar. Now, Bossy, here's what's interesting. So apparently, there is this opinion of Rabbi Chaga. Rabbi Chaga says that Metame Mikdash Ashir, if you have a rich person who came to the Beis HaMikdash Tame, and this rich person brought a carbon ani. Rabbi Chaga says that he's yotze. Rashi says umishum hacha umishum ha lo mishtavish umitaretz tehi dechevan dechazi lehai carbon b'di eved matzi lemisne dekava. So also here's what's interesting. So what about according to Rav Chaga, who says that if a rich man brought a poor man's carbon, so that he would be yotze, would you understand this braisa? So the Gemara says, Ma'ika lemeimar. So the Gemara says, Lo teima v'achar kach amar ela ema v'achar kach lokach v'amar lokach umosif umevi chovaso. So the Gemara is like this. Let's go back. So Ma'ika lemeimar. So what would you say according to him? So the Gemara says, Lo teima v'achar kach amar. So according to Rav Chaga Rav Osa, the way you'd have to read the braisa is not by saying, and afterwards he said, meaning verbal designation, rather, ema va'achar kach lokach. Rather, the way you'd have to read the braisa is by saying, and afterwards he purchased. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, lo tema va'achar kach amar, ela va'achar kach lokach va'amar. So look what Rashi says. Lakach v'amar, zula chatos v'zula ola. Afterwards, rather, the way you'd have to read according to Rabbi Chaga is achakach lakach v'amar. Afterwards, he purchased it and said, zula chatos v'zula ola. Da avdi t'nai, de mechasri teva achos, ayide shichacha, umichlaf luhu, bein v'achakach leva. Okay, so he's just explaining how those words could get mixed up. Rabbosai, according to Rabbi Chaga, what you'd have to say is the following. You'd have to say, lo tima v'acharkach omar, ela ima v'acharkach lokach v'omar, lokach umosif umevi chovaso mainihu. So the Gemara says, according to this logic, what does it mean when it says, supposedly all the Gemara is saying over here, is that according to Rabbi Chaga, for the Braisa to make sense according to him, you just have to change the terms of the Braisa and not talk about a case where just simply afterwards he's verbal designation. Rather, you'd have to say that afterwards he purchased it and then said. So the Gemara says, one second. So the Gemara says, Lakach, va'amar, excuse me, Lakach, Mosif, umevi chovaso mainihu, deparikle. So we'll say, according to this then, how would you look at Rashi? Uparchina Lakach. Rashi says, Imkein Mosif Umevi Chovaso Behema, Chovaso Behema, Midme Chatoso, Mainihu. What would be the case, Rabosai, of where you would be taking the monies that were originally designated for the bird offering, and you would then go ahead and use it for a Behema Schatos? Hare Eno Ma'o Shekva Laka Ha'of. So, Rabosai, the one thing over here is the following. The Braisa entertains the idea that you can go ahead and change the carbon from a carbon oaf to a carbon behema. So the Gemara says, how could you do that? After all, the assumption over here is that the animal has already been purchased. If the birds have already been purchased, there's no money left to go ahead and purchase a behema. So how would you swap this out? So the Gemara answers, deparikle. Oh, you know how you would do it? You would redeem the bird. You would redeem the bird. What does it mean, you redeem the bird? That you go ahead and you transfer the sanctity of the bird onto money. The bird goes up, but now you have money in your hand, and you can use that money to go ahead and purchase the animal chatos. Gemara says, one second. V'hat, look at Rashi, parikle, umotzil l'chulin. You go ahead and you take it out to chulin. Umosif mi beso, v'kanam in ama'os behema. So you redeem the bird, and go ahead and add on to that money, and use the rest of that money to bring an animal chatos. Gemara says, one second. V'hat in pidyon la'of, but you're not allowed to redeem a bird. Rashi says over here, v'hat in pidyon la'of, d'hachi t'nar b'mesechas menochos, apparently, the Gemara explains that the only concept of redemption, of redeeming something, is only said by animals, by animals for carbonos. But apparently, there's no concept of redemption by birds as well as other things. So how would you redeem it? What do? You purchase one bird. Look at Rashi. Kigon shalakach prey da'achos. Gozal echad. You purchase one bird. Lakach minat ziburin demos. So I will say what happens. The case over here is where you purchase one bird from the money you set aside. And what do you say? E ola zavin. If you're going to say that the animal, that the bird that you purchased is for the ola, then what? Mosif umevi chovaso midnei chatas. So I will say, so you buy one bird. And once you buy one bird, what that does is that frees up the rest of the money for the other type of carbon. So therefore, again, if the bird you purchased is an ola, that means the rest of the money is usable for a chatos, in which case then you just add on to the rest of that money and purchase your animal. So the Gemara says, "Umevi chovaso midinei chatoso, v'hai ola ozla l'nedava." And this ola ultimately, again, would be used for a carbon nedava. I chatos zavan. On the other hand, if you're going to purchase a bird and you're going to designate it as a chatos, then what? Ein mosif. Umevi chovaso midinei olaso. Then Rabosai, ultimately, again, the rest of that money is going to be designated as Ola money. And obviously, that cannot be used for the purchase of your animal chatos. I and the Gemara says, V'hai chatos, azla lemisa. And this chatos itself ultimately goes out for misa. Because again, it's a chatos that can't be offered because you can't offer a chatos as a nedava. So the Gemara says, Gufa. Amr Balazar, Amr Raboshia. Metame mikdash ashir. Vehevi karban ani lo yatsa. Rabbi Chalga, Amr Raboshia Yatza. So we'll say, Gemara's quoting the Braisa that we saw before. So Rabbi Lazar named Raboshia says that if a person walks into the Beis HaMikdash and they are Tamei, and what happens? The person is rich, the person is wealthy, but he brings a carbon of an Ani. So instead of bringing a Behemoth Chatos, he brings Kenan, he brings a bird pair. So what happens? Rabbi Lazar named Raboshia says he's not Yotze. And Rabbi Chalga says he is Yotze. So Gemara says, Meisve, Reza Kasha, listen to this case, Rabbi Lazar, Mitzora Ani, Shehevi carbon usher. Let's say now you have a mitzora. And what happens? Remember, again, mitzora also has this type of sliding scale carbon. So the person with saras, who's an ani, brought the carbon of an usher. He brought a rich man's carbon. So instead of bringing a bird pair, he brought an animal. So what's the halacha? Yotza. Right? He says he's yotze. Ashir shehevi carbon ani. Lo yotza. And if you have an ashir that brought a carbon ani, a rich man that brought a poor man's carbon, he's not yotze. He's not yotze. So the Gemara Sobo says, what's interesting over here is the two cases don't line up. Mm-hmm. Right? Again, remember, in the previous case of Metame Mikdash, first of all, you have a machlokes. Right? You have Rav Chago who says that if an usher brought a poor man's carbon, then what? Then Lamaisa again, Rabbi Chago says that he's yotze. That is yotze. And yet over here in this case, everybody's saying he's not yotze. Furthermore, if you have a Metzora Ani that brought the carbon Ashir, here everybody's agreeing that it's Yotze. So what's happening over here? To which the Gemara says, Shiny Hasam. It's different over there because it says what? Tichsev Zos. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Shiny Metzora. Tichsev, the Hasam the over there is Metzora. Metzora is different. Why is Metzora different? Tichsev Zos. Zos Tia Torah Sametzora, Velo Acheres. Because by Metzora it says this is a unique aspect by Metzora and not by anything else. So the Gemara says, "I ihachi reisha nami." So if that's the case, what about the first case as well? Look at Rashi, reisha nami, ani shehevi carbon asher. So we'll say, remember, what the Gemara is saying is like this. There are two cases in this brisa. Case number one of the Metzora is where you have a Metzora ani that brings a carbon asher. So what's the halacha? Yotze. Case number two is Asher Shehevi Karban Ani Lo Yatza. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, why isn't he Yotze? Because the Pasuk says, Zos Torah Sametzora. Because again, there are specific laws, because the Torah says that an Asher has to bring it this way, and an Ani has to bring it that way, and if an Asher brings it like an Ani, he's not Yotze. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, then what? Then what about the first case in the Brais? What's the first case in the Brais? We'll say, that's an Ani who brings an Asher. And what does the Brais say? That is Yotze. But Zos should tell you what? That he's not Yotze, to which the Gemara says, good kasha, right? So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, Iyach Yireisha Nami, oh, ha Rabbi Rachmana Toras. The difference over here is, by Mitzorah Rabosai, there is a ribui. There is an inclusionary phrase. What's the inclusionary phrase? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hasam Rabbi Rachmana Torah Achos. So Rabosai, the Torah uses this lashon of Zos tia Toras Hametzora. Toras Hametzora, the Gemara understands, is an inclusionary phrase to include all Mitzorotin under one umbrella. And to say that the laws of all Mitzorotin apply to each other. And therefore, the Gemara is using this is to tell us what? Therefore, if the Mitzora Ani brought the carbon of an Asher, he'll be Yotze. Why? Because all Mitzorotin are grouped together. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, again, so Hanavi Rabbi Rachmana Toras, but so the Gemara says, Vahatanya, Toras Lerabos Mitzora Ani, Shehevi Karban Ashir, Yochol Afilu Ashir Shehevi Karban Ani. But if that's the case, then what? If that's the case, then why don't you say that the reverse? So therefore, even if the Ashir brings the Karban Ani, he should also be Yotze, to which the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar Zos. Therefore, by Mitzora it says Zos, which is a limiting phrase. Venelef, Sorbosa, again. So what you have over here is by Mitzora, interestingly enough, two almost opposing drushas. On one hand, again, Toras is an inclusionary phrase, and what that comes to teach us is what? That Lemaisa, the Ani, can bring the carbon Asher, but yet what? Zos is a limiting phrase, and Zos says what? That the Asher can't bring the carbon of the Ani. So the Gemara says, Venelef mine. So why don't we learn out from this? So why don't we apply the rules of Mitzora to the laws of Tomei Mikdash, to which the Gemara says, Mi'et Rachmana V'im Dalhu. The difference over here is that it limits over here because it uses lashon of imdalu if he's impoverished. Look at Rashi, imdalu mietu mitzora. There is a limiting aspect in mitzora. So he says, I'm sorry, mietu mitzora. Who the asher shehevi carbon ani lo yatsa aval shar chayvi carbon ola viyoreid lo. So we'll say, interestingly enough, there is a specific limiting phrase by mitzora that says imdalu. Imdalu is that by mitzora the carbon ani is limited mamish to an ani. Limited mamish to an ani. So it's only by Mitzora that if the usher brings the carbon ani, that he's not Yotze. But in other cases, like Tamei Mikdash, if an usher were to bring a carbon ani, he would be Yotzi, at least according to Rabbi Chaga. So what the Gemara essentially answers is, Metzora has certain phrases that limit its halachos to itself and do not allow the application of those halachos to other circumstances. Fine, says the Mishnah. Kasher lashon, back to Yom Kippur, I will say. Kasher lashon shal zahoris berosh sa'ir hamishtalech. So what happens? I will say, now we're moving along in the service. So what happens? They went ahead and they took red string, and they would tie it on the head of the sa'ir hamishtalech, on the head of the goat that was going to be sent out la'azazel. V'he'emido kineged beis shilucho. And they pointed that goat in the direction of the gate that it was going to leave. Remember, what gate is it going to leave? It's going to leave Shar Nicanor. So they pointed it in the direction of Shar Nicanor. And what happens? Ve'amido ulenishchat, and then they took the karban, the seir that was going to be shechted, keneged beis shchitaso. And they pointed it opposite the direction where it was going to be shechted. Balo itzal paro, paro, right? Paro shnia. He comes to his par a second time, and what happens? The somech yado alav. He places his hands on the animal. Umisvader. Rabbi says, now this is the second vidui. This is the second confession, and now he confesses. What is sivakachayo? Omer ana Hashem chatosi avisi pashati. So we already saw the two versions of this, right? It's either avisi pashati chatosi or chatosi avisi pashati. It's just the question if you go from least severe sin to most severe sin, from most severe sin to least severe sin. Because remember, we already established that a pesha is a rebellious sin, an avon is an intentional sin, a willful sin, and chatos is an inadvertent sin. So he does his vidui, chatosi avisi pashati lefanecha, and you beisi, because it's Kohen Gadol speaking. We have sinned before you, myself and my home, ubnei Aaron am kidoshecha, and the sons of Aaron, your holy nation. Anu Hashem, please Hashem, kaperna, atone for us, la avonos, la pshaim, la chatoim, shavisi v'shevashati v'shechatasi lefanecha, and you beisi b'nei Aaron am kidoshecha. As it says in the Torah of Moshe, your servant, because on this day you will atone for us to cleanse us from all of our sins. Before Hashem we shall be purified. Remember, he just said again the Shem Hashem, and as we've established, whenever the Kohen Gadol says the Shem Hashem, they answer, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Liolam Vaed. Says the Gemara, Yibaylehu, Kasha, V'lanishchat Akshira Koi, Oh, ha-modekar. So we'll listen to this. Here's what's interesting. The way the Mishnah read is, the Mishnah said, they took the seir that was going la'azazel, and what did they do? They stood it. First of all, they tied a thread around its horns. That's number one. And number two, they stood it opposite the area that it was going to exit. And then it said, they took the animal that was going to be shechted, u'l-nishchot, keneged beis shchitaso. And the nishchat, they stood it opposite where it was going to be shechted. So the Gemara asks, when it says, and the nishchat, what does and the nishchat mean? Does and the nishchat mean that we do to the nishchat what is done to the sa'azazel animal, meaning that we also tie around its horns a red thread? Or does it just mean that we just simply stand it up opposite the place where it's going to be shechted? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Ditani Rabbi Yosef, Kasher Loshon Shal Zahoris, Berosh Seir HaMishtaleach. So Rabbi Yosef said they would also tie a red thread around the horns of the Seir that was going to be sent out to Azazel. Ve'emido Kineged Beis Shilucho. And they would go ahead and stand it up opposite the place where it was going to be sent out. Ulenishchat keneged beis shchitaso, and they would also do the same for the animal that was going to be shechted. They would stand it up opposite the place of shchita. Shelo yisariv zebaze, v'lo yisariv ba'achirim. That the animals, the two seirim themselves, should not be mixed up with each other, and they should also not get mixed up with other animals. So the Gemara says, "I amrit bishlama akshira koi." Now, if you say that they also tie a red thread or red wool around the horns of the nishchat animal, then that makes sense. Because then what happens, Rabbi Osai? Then that makes sense. Eli amrit, because why does that make sense? Because that now would prevent that animal, the nishchat, from getting mixed up with other animals. But if all you're saying is that the nishchat animal is also stood opposite the Beis HaShchita, then it won't get mixed up perhaps with the Azazel animal, because the Azazel animal has a string tied to its horns and this animal does not. However, ba'achrini mihas ma'ariv. But lamaise can still get very easily mixed up with what? With other animals. Therefore, elalav shmamina, akshira koi shmamina. Therefore, see from the Mishnah. What Rabosai? See from the Mishnah that lemaisa, red string was tied around the horns of the nishchat animal as well. So you have red string tied around the horns of the azazel animal, red string tied around the horns of the nishchat animal, and that prevents these animals, A, from getting mixed up with each other. You prevent them getting mixed up with each other in the direction that they're facing. They're placed in different areas, and it also prevents them from getting mixed up with other animals because they each have the red string around their horns. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, first wide line. Shtei lishono shamati. I've heard that we use red wool, red string twice. Achos shel para, one is for the para aduma, v'achos shel sa'ir mishtaliach, and one is for the sa'ir that is sent out la'azazel. Achos tzricha shir, v'achos ina tzricha shir. One of the red wools requires a shir, one of them does not. V'lo yedana heminayu, but I'm not sure which one requires a shir, which one does not. Amr of Yosef, Nichse Anon, let's analyze this. Shall Seira Mishtaleach de Bay Chaluka, Bay Shir, Shall Pard Lo Bay Chaluka, Lo Bay Shir. So Rav Yosef says, I think that it is the red wool of the Seira Mishtaleach that requires a shear. Why? Because that has to be split in two. Rav Yosef says, why does it have to be split in two? We will see later on that what happened is that when they took the Seir out, La Azazel, they would take the wool that was on the horns and they would split it into two threads. One thread they would keep around the animal and the other thread they would tied to a rock right by the edge of the cliff. So therefore, because you need more wool, it would appear that that requires a shear. You need enough wool to be able to remain on the animal, plus to be able to tie onto the stone. However, para, the red wool of the para aduma does not, we're both remember, the red wool of the para is not tied around the para aduma, but that's part of the whole concoction, that's part of the whole mixture that you have to make. So, but it doesn't have to be split, so bepashtos, it would not require a shear. Maske florani barchama, 1 second, the para nami boy kovet. Oh, but you know, by para dumi, you know what you need to say? Para dumi, you need COVID, you need weight. What does you know to say? We'll see that lemaisa, the wool had to be thrown into the fire of the para aduma. Rabosai, again, in order for wool to be thrown into a fire, what do you need? It has to have mass, because otherwise what's going to happen? It'll just float away. So it has to have mass, it has to have a thickness, a weight to it, so that it sinks down into the fire. Amalei Rava, kovet tenoihi. Kovet, this idea that ultimately it requires weight, that in and of itself is a machlokis. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Udipara. But Rabbi Yosef, again, what comes out from this sugya is lemaisa. Again, so first of all, here's what we have just based on this Mishnah. What we have over here from the Mishnah is that lemaisa, the para aduma, excuse me, not the para aduma, both seirim, after the designation, are pointed in the direction in which they are going to go. And what comes out from the Gemara's understanding of the Mishnah is that both seirim have red wool tied onto their horns. This way, again, lemaisa, again, the red wool will serve a particular purpose, but for our purposes right now, it prevents these animals from getting mixed in with any other. All right, we'll pick up tomorrow, Mirza Hashem.